This is the Kona Edge, the home of Ironman triathletes who dream of qualifying for the World Championships on the Big Island.
This is the Kona Edge. I'm Brad Brown, and it's awesome to have you with us here today. Coming to you from a gorgeous Cape Town in South Africa. I'd love to know where you're listening to this podcast. So if you're not driving, don't do this if you're driving, okay? But take your phone or the device, whatever it is that you have that's got a camera on. Take a photo of where you're at right now and tweet it or Instagram it to me, okay? It's at the Kona Edge on both the platforms, at the Kona Edge. You can pop it on Facebook as well. If you're in the if you're on Facebook, just head over to at the KonaEdge.com/Facebook. That's where you can pop it into our Facebook group. And while you're there, yesterday I did our first surprise interview, and there's a sneak peek of who it is. She is a former Ironman 70.3 world champion. She is the current ITU long distance world champion. She's won multiple Ironman 70.3s here in South Africa. She's won the Asian Pacific Championships. She is an absolute rock star. So if you want to find out who that surprise interviewee is, head over to that Facebook page. Okay, that's thekonaedge.com/Facebook. And if you'd like to hear the whole interview, all you need to do is support the Kona Edge. Become a patron. Head over to thekonaedge.com/support to find out all the details. We've got another first on the podcast today. We head to Belgium. So it's a new country on the list, which I love. And then we've got another one next week, which I think is fantastic. So we are spreading the message of the Kona Edge around the globe. We've been to Europe before. I'm trying to think, next week's guests from South America. We have been to South America before, if I recall correctly, but a brand new country to add on to that list, so that's fantastic too. We're going to be chatting to Martin Segers, who came so close to going under 9 hours at Ironman Kona in 2016, but he'll tell you more about that on today's episode. But before we do that, let's head over to the Coach's Corner. It's time for today's Coach's Corner. If you're an athlete looking for a coach, it doesn't matter where you are in the world, we've got access to some of the best triathlon and Ironman coaches around. If you'd like to find out more or hook up with one of our coaches, whether you need help with a swim, bike, run, or nutrition, all you have to do is head over to thekonaedge.com/coaching. You can get all the details there. Check out all the coaches that we've got access to. And don't forget, too, if you are a coach and you would like to get access to the podcast and get a bit of a plug on the podcast, all you have to do is head over to that same URL, okay? It's thekonaedge.com/coaching. Scroll down to the bottom of the page and you can get all the details there. So that's thekonaedge.com/coaching. Well, we head to Belgium now, close to Antwerp here on the Kona Edge. And it's a great pleasure to welcome Martin Segers onto the podcast. Martin, first Belgium, welcome onto the show. Thanks for joining us.
Yeah, thanks very much. I'm glad to be here. So just ask away.
Brilliant. Martin, let's start where triathlon started for you. What sort of background did you come from? Where did your sport, your love for the sport of triathlon start?
Well, actually, when I was about 18 years, I started riding a bike with a friend of me. We quickly started driving lots of kilometers. We did pretty quickly the Tour de Flanders. It's an epic bike ride here back home. And then after a few years, he moved away. He went to another country, and I started running a little bit, and then pretty quickly the swimming part as well. And then after a while, I'll just why not try triathlon back home with Santa Claus. It was a really recreational triathlon, but it went really well, so I kind of roll into it. And after a few years, I wanted to do once in a lifetime a whole distance, full distance, and kind of took another way and started doing Ironman, and it became better and better, and that's kind of the situation I'm at right now.
Isn't that always the case? I'm only ever going to do one. One is it, and then we're not going to do any more. How many have you done now?
If I take a quick count, between 10 to 15. Normally, I do two full distance races in a year. So,
out of the three disciplines, what do you think you're best at?
No, it depends on the day, because my weakest part is the swim. So the other two are more or less the same. But if I go too fast on a bike, my run won't be that good. But to be honest, I think they are about equal, the bike and the run part. But it depends on how much effort I put in the bike leg, then how good the run should be.
The run's going to be. Growing up as a child, were you pretty active? What sort of sports did you play as a kid, Martin?
Nothing really competitive. I did some soccer playing, some football. Only 2 years in a club, and then one year I was in a swimming club. But I went to the, in English they call it the Boy Scouts. In back by us, it's the Scouts. Just every weekend it was like having fun in the woods and playing with the other kids. It's not really that into sport. More when I was studying, I was into going out with friends, drinking some beers, and then that kind of takes.
How things have changed now that you're training for Ironman and racing world championships. If I had said to Martin Seegers as the student who was going out having a few beers that sitting here today in 2017 we'd be talking about the Ironman world championships, what would you have said to me?
Yeah, wouldn't quite believe that, I think. But it's like I said earlier in the interview, kind of roll into it. You start having fun with the sport and you do more for it and you start to live for it. And then it's no effort to leave those things behind because you have a passion for the sport and it's no problem.
When did you realize you were pretty good at it, Martin?
Back in 2011, I did my first full distance in Belgium. It was Neerpelt, but it wasn't an Ironman, but it was the full distance. And it wasn't that bad, but I knew at that point I liked it and I wanted to do it again. But then I had to work with a coach. And then from that point on, I started working with a coach and I did in 1 year an hour of my total time, and then it went better and better. So when I started working with the coach, it kind of went up, and until this point, I think I keep on making progress. Even now, after Kona, I feel better now than back before the racing in October.
It's so interesting. It's so interesting you say that, because that's one of the things that comes up over and over here on the Kona Edge, is that consistency of training, particularly when you're doing the long ones. That it's
I read it in your email before this interview. If I have to give one tip, it's the consistency. You just have to keep on training consistent. Training smart, not going one week all the way and then week and not going doing anything. But if you train consistently, you keep on making progress.
Absolutely. Martin, growing up, were you competitive? You mentioned being part of the Scouts, but did you hate losing as a youngster, or was it something that really didn't bother you?
Yeah, I think when I play football, even with friends, I hate losing. Yeah. Back then.
Do you think... Do you think that's important? That's an important quality to have if you want to succeed at Ironman?
No, I don't think so. Because the main thing you have to remember, I think, for me, you just can do what you are capable. Because I started a race, I know more or less what I can do. If another one takes me over on the bike, I just don't mind, because I have to do my thing, then bike my power, then run my pace. And if I do that, it's a good race. If I look at some other competitors too much, it's not going to be the effort I can do, because you go too fast.
You mentioned consistency, so that would be discipline, the discipline to hold yourself back when you feel like you should be chasing in a race. discipline plays a big part in Ironman, not just in the racing, but also in the training, waking up early in the morning, doing the sessions you need to do. How disciplined would you say you are?
Yeah, I got, I think to make the comparison, I got my coach schedules every week. I don't think I missed 10 hours of that training a whole winter. So I think I got the discipline to do what I have to do, but not doing more than that, because if I do more, it's not going to be better. Just do what he told me to do, and then it works for me, because I keep making progress. So that's
such an important point. And again, it comes down to the discipline, because you have a coach, he gives you a training program, and if you look at it and think, this isn't enough, I need to train harder, it's easy for you to go and do an extra hour on the bike or to run an extra 3 or 4 Ks.
Yeah.
But you need to trust in the system and know that your coach knows what's good for you.
Because certainly after an Ironman, and before an Ironman, your condition is so good, you can do everything you want to do. If there is some training saying run 25, it's easy to run 28. It's no problem. But you just have to trust on the system. And then I think more, sometimes it's better to rest an hour more than train an hour more. But yeah.
Such an important point. That for a living, what do you do work-wise?
I work here in a sports center back in Belgium. It's the center of my parents. I worked here for 10 years now. And then last year, I started working in a school as a teacher, physical education. This year, I worked some months there, and I'll probably will be working there next year also. So I'll try to combine the two. Fortunately, I got the opportunity to work. I do my training sessions during the day, the most of them, and then train and then work, and then it's a good combination for me. It works for me.
As far as your circle of friends and families, does anyone else do Ironman, or are you alone? Do they think you're crazy?
Most of them think I'm crazy. Yeah. I think if you do a lot of these interviews, I think you hear it a lot that with time, the people you train with, they become friends as well. So my friends from earlier, from the Scouts, from Boy Scouts, they are not that sportive, but the people I meet right now become friends as well. And then but as you mentioned, the persons that I work with, and so they think I'm crazy. Yeah.
how big is the sport of triathlon in Belgium? Is it, I mean, the sport itself globally is exploding. Is it the same in Belgium?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, I think lots of people are more or less like me. They say, well, yeah, I like running, I like biking. Why not the swim? And then they roll into it. So it's a great sport for everyone, because everyone has a kind of something you can just finish, or you want to go to Kona, or you want to do well in Kona. So it's great competition for everyone, because if you finish an Ironman or smaller distance, it's a great achievement either way. So yeah, I think the sport back in Belgium is also exploding. Yeah.
You talk about people come to the sport from different aspects, whether it be cycling or running or swimming. But cycling is huge in Belgium. I know your neighbors in the Netherlands, cycling's massive, but Belgium is too, and there's a huge cycling culture. Are you finding a lot of cyclists are moving across to the sport of triathlon?
Yeah, there's a crossover from lots of sports, I think. But cycling is, as you mentioned, very big in Belgium. So it's a great sport here. But, yeah. Oh, excuse me. It's a great sport here, but there are also lots of runners. But, yeah, I think it will always keep on growing here in Belgium. So it's not at the top.
Let's talk about the races. There's also lots of races in Europe. I think being on mainland Europe, you're blessed. I mean, there's almost an Ironman distance race every second weekend in the summer. From a racing perspective, what are some of your favorites to race in Europe?
So I did almost all my races in Europe. So for me personally, I kind of want to go to a race that's good for me, because I'm rather small, but I can ride hard on a bike and it's uphill. It's for me, a race like Nice or Lanzarote. I did Wales as well. Selective on the bike. That's the best race for me, but I think if you keep it on Ironman, almost all the races are exceptional bike course and really nice environment to run as well. So yeah, I did about five different. I also did Regensburg in Germany. Also very, very nice. And then I have to think. Yeah, I did Wales as well, but that's also selective.
Yeah.
For me personally, I did only in the States, Texas, but it was also great ambience, great sphere.
All right.
Because my brother. My brother lives there in Texas, and I went there 2015 to visit him and do the race.
And qualifier, where did you qualify for Kona?
I actually went three times. Qualified first time in Wales 2012, and then to prepare, I did Ironman Lanzarote 2013. I qualified also, but it was the same year, so had to give it that slot to another one. And then 2015 qualified in Texas, and last year in Nice, in Ironman Nice.
You mentioned those tough bike courses. I mean, Wales is tough. Nice is very, very hard. I mean, lots of climbing in Nice. The first time you qualified, Martin, was it a case, was that the goal? Did you go there and it was, I'm chasing a Kona slot, or did it sort of happen by accident?
No, it was the goal, because that year, it was 2012, I did my second Ironman in Regensburg in Germany. And then I was in fifth position in my age group, and it was very, very close. So my former coach told me, so if you want to go to Wales, it's a nice course, nice ambience. You're very close to your slot. Just try it. And then maybe you get it for next year. And then it happened like that. So I did the race and I managed to qualify the first time. So I was aiming to go for Kona then.
And for you, why Kona? What's the attraction? What makes it special?
I think if you look at the television and the images of the race, you can see how big it is, but it's kind of the biggest thing in triathlon. The attention it gets and the whole ambience around the competition, it's crazy. So it was, I wanted to do it once, of course, and then if you go there, it's the whole show about it. It's a little bit over the top sometimes, but it's great to do it,
and to be part of it. And only once, again, it's one of those, I'm only doing it once, and then before you know it, you're there year after year.
but year after year, it's a little bit expensive, but I got the feeling last year it was the top I could do, but then afterwards, maybe I can do even better, but it's difficult to tell.
Is the goal to go back this year, or are you going to take some time off and try and get faster? What's the plan for 2018?
For this year?
For 2017, I mean, yeah. Sorry, 2017.
Yeah, okay, no. I'm not looking that much further in the future, because I just take it one step at a time. And for the moment, I just want to race really, really hard in Ironman Lanzarote, 20th of May, and I'll just see afterwards, because I've put a lot of effort in being very strong at the starting line, and then I'll see how far I get.
Well, not long to go now till that one in Lanzarote, but how much do you change from a preparation perspective from race to race? Do you tend to do the same sort of things and make small changes, or do you try and make major changes between races?
Yeah, as I told, I try to just follow the schedule my coach puts up. So after Kona, after one race in Ironman, for myself and for my body physically, I need a break for probably 3 weeks, 4 weeks that I not train with a schedule, but just have fun. And then I start to build up. And then on the toughest weeks, it's about 28 hours in a week.
Wow. That's a lot.
Yeah. Yeah. I start up with about 14, 15 hours, and then it goes on like that.
And in the build-up to Ironman Kona, do you do anything differently, or is it the same sort of build-up?
Well, it's the same build-up. I think I got the benefit that from nature on, I'm well resisted to the heat. I don't have a lot of problems adjusting to it. So I don't need to train on the heat aspect. Then the training, it's about the same. But what I saw the last years, and it kind of surprises me every time I'm there, is that a lot of triathletes in Kona, they go really hard the last days. I don't know why, actually.
You obviously don't. You take it easy going into the race then.
Yeah, the last days, I do the same thing as I do for another race. So, and I've noticed now that the best thing for me is to keep it calm last 2 weeks. But a lot of other triathletes I see, they go really fast when they're on the island. And I think they leave a lot of their capability on the last days. They lose a little bit of that.
Is it easy to get sucked into that? Because there's obviously so many good athletes and you see what everyone else is doing. Do you almost feel like you need to be doing that?
If you walk around there in the last 2 weeks, it's like there are 2,000 top pro professionals at the starting line. So, yeah, you have to keep it calm.
And it's funny because everyone says that to me. It doesn't matter how fit you are. If you look around, you think to yourself, gee, how did I end up here? You always doubt yourself when you're on the island, and you shouldn't, because you've done the work. You're just like everyone else to be there.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. So I think you just have to be confident in your own capability. Just trust the process and then go for it.
Martin, as far as the goals and getting better all the time, you mentioned that you seem to be progressing all along. Your first Ironman distance race, can you remember what your time was and your splits for the different disciplines?
Splits, it's been 2011. If you talk about Ironman or for first full distance?
Full distance.
Yeah, okay. That was in Neerpelt, actually, in 2009. Yeah, I think I swam about an hour and 5 minutes. Fast bike course without much of climbing. I think I did about, I'm not sure anymore, but my ending time was 10 hours and 40 minutes. So it's been a whole way from there on.
What are you doing now? Like, what is your personal best for an Ironman now?
This year in Kona, I had 9 hours and 40 seconds.
So close to sub nine.
Yeah. It was, if I had no known it, I would go a little bit faster, but on that moment, it was the closest, the maximum possible. So,
looking back now, you've obviously looked at that race and gone, where could I have saved 40 seconds? Where do you think you could have made that up, thinking about it afterwards?
Afterwards. But it's not, if you do your, for me, it was my best race until now, so I don't have any regrets about it. So, yeah, it was perfect then.
And the experience of racing on the Big Island, it's one thing going to Wales or to Germany or to Texas, but racing in Kona against the best athletes in the world, that must be pretty special.
Yeah, it's the ambience around the race, because if you take the race really honestly, I think there are more beautiful races than Kona. The environment of Wales, for example, it's more beautiful than Kona, but you can't compare the atmosphere. You can't compare Kona. That's the everyone wants to be good there. So that's the main difference, I think.
And finishing on the podium, you finished third in your age group. You were 41st overall, so you're really right up in the top end of the field. What's it like knowing that you in the top three in the world? That must be incredible.
Yeah, I have to be honest. That wasn't my goal to do it. I just wanted to do the top thing I can do, and I was aiming for top 100, so I didn't know that I could do that, but now, yeah, it was a great feeling to do that good, but it wasn't the ambition I didn't need to do that.
Yeah.
It was just,
Does it make you think that you can
try to be as relaxed?
Does it make you think that you can win it?
Excuse me?
Does it make you think that you can win it, that you can go back and become Ironman Age Group World Champion?
If I want to start again there, I don't want to do worse. If I go to the starting line, it's with the ambition to do better, but I don't want to have the pressure to do, to become world champion. I don't have to be, it has to be done. Just, If I start there, I kind of want to do better. So, it's kind of two sides to the story.
Yeah, absolutely. As far as other things you want to achieve in the sport, I mean, you've done pretty well. You've come close to a sub 9-hour Ironman in Kona, which is incredible. But what are some of the other races or some of the other things you want to still achieve?
I try not to look very far into the future, because just want to have fun on the whole process, and then take it race by race. And then maybe if I look this year, just after Kona, I'm gonna look what's possible. And then this year, I'll try to do the Belgium Championship in Eupen. And I'm not sure about the rest of the season, but normally I'll keep on racing one or two Ironman distances every year. And then don't know what the ambition is. If I keep having fun, I can put the effort of training and racing. It's no problem.
Awesome. And your coach, what goes in for you? What goes into deciding who's going to coach you? How do you go about selecting a coach?
I think for many athletes, there has to be a click. You have to understand where he wants to go, and then you have to follow his vision about it. Also, for me personally, I have to accept what he wants to do. If he tells me to do something, and if I start to thinking every time differently, I think you don't need a coach or need to change of coaching. Because if he tells you to ride 100 kilometers on the bike and you want to ride 150, and then day after you do a lot more or less, it's time to change. Or you coach yourself, or you change coaching. So, that's for me. You have to trust him.
I think that is such an important point, and you might be at a point with your coach where you buy into the philosophy, but when you get to that point where you start second guessing and questioning why you're doing things in your mind, then in my mind, then it's over. Then it's time to, like you say, either coach yourself or move on and find someone else.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Right. Well, Martin, it's been great catching up. Thanks for joining us on the Kona Edge. I look forward to chatting a little bit about your swim, your bike, and your run next time out, but we'll save that for then. Thanks for your time today.
All right, thank you.
But forget, if you're a coach or if you're looking for a coach, to head over to the Coach's Corner on the Kona Edge. And the website to get to is thekonaedge.com/coaching. You can get all the details there. We've got some world-class coaches to help you out and help you achieve your goals. Some of them have coached world champions, Olympians, so go check it out. Okay, that's thekonaedge.com/coaching if you're looking for a coach. And if you are a coach anywhere in the world and you'd like to use the platform of the Kona Edge to help grow your business, head over to that website as well. Scroll all the way down to the bottom on that page and all the details are there. That's thekonaedge.com/coaching. What a cool story, and I love the fact that we are spreading the message and just hearing from triathletes all around the world. It's our first Belgian on the podcast. Martin Segers, thank you for your time today. And a quick iTunes review for you. If you haven't left one yet, we've been getting some amazing ones. So thank you for taking the time to leave us a review. If you'd like to do that, we're giving away a cool prize as well. We're going to pay for someone's Ironman entry this year. All you have to do is head over to thekonaedge.com/win. And this review comes from Evans792 in the United States, saying, seriously digging this pod. Listen to 4 episodes during this morning's commute. Great rest day motivation. Real solid tips, advice, and stories from not only world-class athletes, but also age groupers like myself. I love the format too. Short bursts, stay on topic. Thanks for all the help. Keep up the good work. Evan792, you are a legend. Thank you for taking the time to do that. And don't forget, if you are on social media, leave your profile handle. So if you're on Twitter or Instagram, leave your at name so that I can message you on the interwebs and say thank you personally. So thank you very much for that. thekonaedge.com/win is where you can get yours in. And I told you at the start of the show, you need to head over to the Facebook page to see who our surprise interview is. I'm going to give you a sneak peek right now. Until tomorrow, cheers.
As far as your last year, Jody, I mean, you've had an up and down year, a couple of really big wins and ones that I think you probably encountered. You had a couple of disappointments as well. I think the last year, maybe just over a year, we look back to Ironman South Africa in 2016. But as far as triathlon seasons go, where would you put the last one up in your career?
It was right up there with the best of the years I've had. I won the World ITU Long Distance Champs, so to regain another world title after 7 years of not gaining a world title, it was a real high. And obviously winning Ironman Asia Continental Champs after a huge crash in Ironman South Africa when I was leading, that was I was really proud of that, of having bounced back under not very good circumstances and under a lot of pressure and a lot of emotional strain. So I'm really proud of myself. And it's a different kind of racing that I do now. I race from a very happy place, from a place where I determine the races that I do and why I do them. Not like back in 2010, 2011, when I was personally struggling. So, I'm just enjoying being able to attack races, happy, confident, and come away with results. Still waiting for Kona to develop into the right thing. I got a penalty in Kona this year, and it chased it back too fast. And that just, you can't make these mistakes in Kona. Kona just highlights everything because it's just so brutal. But one day I'll be back in Kona, and have no doubt that I'll be able to nail it.
We hope you enjoyed this episode of the Kona Edge. Don't forget to connect with us on social media. Simply search for the Kona Edge.